of some of the events surrounding Christ's birth. So some things you have to kind of use your imagination, but hopefully, you know, if I just tell you that, you'll be a little more prepared. And the young people have different parts. And some of them are playing more than one character. So try not to be confused about that. But it's just, you know, working with what we have. And so appreciate their participation in this. And so I'll pray here. And then we will start off with scene one. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together here tonight. And we again thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ and this season of the year that we remember Jesus coming into the world, taking on human flesh, the incarnation. And we wonder at that, we're amazed at that, that God would become man. And help us to be thankful to you for all that you have done, for your love, which sent your Son into the world. And we pray your blessing on this service tonight. Be with the young people as they speak, and just give them your grace and strength, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We will dive deep into the Christmas story as it is unfolding. To understand more about what is going on in Bethlehem, we turn to our resident expert.
To start, let's talk about the Roman Empire and the politics of that age. You see, it was B.C. 500 that...
I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but we have a breaking development on the scene with our reporter. Clara, what is going on there?
Oh, there's something going on here in Bethlehem. The census is quite extraordinary. Caesar Augustus has decreed that the world should be registered. Each must go to their hometown to be properly accounted for.
The streets of Bethlehem have never looked so busy. Thank you for the update, Clara. We will keep in touch.
We'll do. Back to you, Lillian.
It seems that we have a caller on the phone. Hello, caller. Tell us what's your name and what's your question.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I would like to know what is the census that you are talking about?
Oh, my specialty. Well, Bob, a census is a special count of people in a state, city, or country. In this case, the Emperor of Rome wanted his subjects to go to their home city to get accounted for.
Yes, it is now.
He did this for the taxes, that he would know that how much money he should receive from each person, so that...
I'm sorry, we are going to have to interrupt. We have a special report coming in just now. Unusual claims today coming out of Bethlehem. Live on the scene is Cassidy in Bethlehem.
Emperor Caesar Augustus's tax initiative has flooded the streets of this town with guests anxious to register, pay their taxes, and get home. Not surprisingly, the demands for rooms have exceeded its supply. Here is a local innkeeper I couldn't help but bump into, literally.
Hi, yes, I run Bethlehem Bed and Breakfast, the best B&B in town. Are you tired? Are you tired of sleeping in your own bed? Are you tired of eating your own breakfast? Well, give us a try.
Actually, our viewers are interested in your view of just how busy this place is. Are the reports of every room full correct?
Well, I mean, we do run a pretty busy place. But the last few days, I've actually had to turn people away. Last night, there was this young couple. She was pregnant, almost ready to deliver, but there was just no room. I asked the servant to find her a place.
Do all these rooms full suggest a prophecy fulfilled, or merely traveler aggravation? Time will tell. Cassidy reporting from the city of Bethlehem.
Thank you, Cassidy.
We're going to be singing from our handout, The Birthday of a King. So hopefully you got a handout there. Has some Christmas songs that are not in our hymnal. So we're going to sing The Birthday of a King. Anybody need the handout? Raise your hand. Okay. Got some people over here. The Rays need a handout. Ethan, maybe he can get those. Can you get these, Ethan, over here? the raise? You got one. Okay, all right. Anybody else? All right, okay, good. All right, here we go.
Have a breaking story about a young couple in Bethlehem.
Yes, I am here in Bethlehem, back at the Old Inn. It's packed here. More people than on a stable sale Saturday. I checked with the front desk, but Mary and Joseph did not get a room. However, a servant was able to lead me to the place where they had cleaned up. A quiet place, out of the hustle and bustle. Mom and the baby are doing well, but it's not the most loveliest places for a birth, but it's quiet and clean. And there isn't a bed for the baby, only a manger.
Thank you. And what about Joseph? Are you able to get a word with him?
To meet him or talk with him, you sense nothing of the supernatural. Yet Joseph, a carpenter from Nazareth, stands by a story of an angelic visit and a miraculous birth.
He appeared to me months ago and told me that my betrothed Mary was pregnant, but not by any man. The angel said that the child she was carrying was conceived of the Holy Spirit.
That newborn child is the focus of a region ripe with anticipation.
His name is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins.
Bold plans for a baby laid in a manger. And what of his wife? Does she stand by his story?
Her name is Mary. Her story also begins with an angelic visit.
I was shocked, visited by an angel, and then this angel told me that I would be pregnant. He said my child would be called the Son of the Most High, Jesus.
And what, if anything, did you say to this angel visitor?
I asked him, how could this be? I am still a virgin. He told me your child will be conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Having seen this baby in question, I can state he looks quite normal. Yet there seems to be nothing normal surrounding his birth.
I can hardly believe it myself. I just keep pondering what the angel said and what I know God has promised us in his Holy Scriptures.
The locals in the area do have deep and long-awaited faith in this promise of the coming Messiah. Could this humble birth possibly be it? I'm Clara. Bethlehem?
This has been an NBC Live Action News special report. Let's go to a commercial break.
All right, for our commercial break, let's go over to number 94. And we'll sing... What child is this? Number 94. Number 94. What child is this?
with NBC Live Action News. It may be the world's most unlikely city, but Bethlehem is buzzing with reports of even more angelic visitors. Reporter Clara has the story.
A visit from an angel? That's the claim here in Bethlehem from a handful of local shepherds. Here comes a couple now. Excuse me, ladies. Would you have a moment to share what happened to you on the hill outside of Bethlehem this evening?
It was terrifying. We were just doing our usual thing, counting our sheep, trying to stay awake, keeping warm around our fire, when all of a sudden, a blazing light in the sky appeared.
Was that the angel? Did that angel have any kind of greeting or message?
Well, there we were, falling like dead men, and he says to us in the most kindly way, "Don't be afraid, I have good news for everyone. A Savior has been born for you in the city of David."
The Savior we have been waiting for.
And he goes on to say, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
A manger?
Yeah, that's what we thought. Kind of curious for a king. But know how we were about to head off and then a whole multitude of angels appeared.
And they was all giving God glory together and declaring peace for all of us on earth with whom God is pleased. It was quite the sight. Hey, we had better get going. Gotta find that manger.
Well, folks, it would be easy to discredit the testimony of one lonely shepherd. But look around. There are plenty more. And the solitary message is causing many to wander.
Their accounts agree in every detail. An angel in the sky with a message of hope. Other angels then joining in an invitation to meet the supposed baby savior.
From Bethlehem, this town shrouded in mystery. I'm Clara reporting.
All right, take your hymnals again. Turn to number 95, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." Number 95. Let's stand as we sing. Number 95.
Miraculous birth and possible infant king mean? Does this fulfill an ancient Jewish prophecy?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. Now, the Jews were probably expecting a king to lead them into battle and to set them free from Roman tyranny. They were very much mistaken. The Christ would come as an infant to save the souls and to tell our people about the way to heaven. The Jewish prophecies are well recorded in the ancient scriptures. We will be a light to lightened the Gentiles in the glory of thy people of Israel.
That is really something. To wrap up this segment, perhaps we can squeeze in a few calls.
Yes, I'd like to order 2 large pepperoni cheese pizzas, please.
I'm sorry, ma'am. Wrong number. We are NBC Live Action News on television.
Wait, does this mean that people can hear me? How embarrassing.
Caller number 2, please.
Yes, hello. Am I on?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I'm calling on behalf of King Herod. There are rumors about that a new king has been born. Shepherds crying it out in the streets. Foreign officials following a star. The rumors go on and on. The citizens of Rome rest secure tonight knowing that they have one king, and he is still on the throne. Don't let all these religious fanatics stir up any more trouble or else.
Well, thank you, sir. It seems that there is more than one viewpoint on the events tonight. We present the facts so that you can decide. Thank you for joining us for tonight's segment of NBC Action News. Bethlehem's story remains unfolding, but we have heard much to think about. This has been Lillian reporting.
And I am Andrew, with everyone here at NBC Action News, wishing you a
Merry Christmas!
I get the privilege tonight of bringing the aspect of the presents that the wise men gave. And the title of my message is, Wise Men Still Give Gifts. Wise Men Still Give Gifts. And my text is going to be out of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went out before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh." I want us to see tonight that we might see what gifts God desires from us tonight. These wise men that sought to find Jesus, they came with gifts to present to before him in worship. And today, we too have gifts that we can offer our King of Kings. Whether they realized it or not, the gifts that these wise men gave told the gospel story. You see, God Himself, who came down from heaven as our King, represented gold. And He came to fulfill His priestly duties, which would be frankincense, represent frankincense. And then He died for our sins, which would represent the myrrh. One could argue that gold or frankincense would be normal or desirable gifts, but let me ask you, who here has been to a baby shower before? Yeah, I have. And can you imagine, you know, the parents, you know, opening all these gifts of diapers and baby bottles and, you know, all these gifts that you would normally see at a baby shower. And they're excited, and they pull over the next guest, and they open it up, and it's a bottle of embalming fluid. I mean, they probably would swallow hard and look around the room and maybe give a nervous smile, but I don't think that they would be quite as excited about that as, you know, maybe the diapers or baby clothes. But that's what these wise men brought. They brought myrrh, which was used for two purposes. It was used for anointing prophets, which Jesus was the prophet, and he was the fulfillment of prophecy. And then it was also used to embalm the dead as well. And it was used to embalm Jesus when he died on the cross for our sins. So that is the most unusual gift out of all three, but the one that especially points forward to the day that Jesus would die for the sins of the world. But how many of you know tonight that he didn't stay in that grave? He rose from the dead 3 days later for our sins. And so he came, he was born to die. And the wise men recognized that in their gifts. So what do you have to offer? What do you have to offer tonight? The wise men, those three gifts are mentioned, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but there's also gifts that you have to kind of read between the lines to see, such as their time. Can you imagine? It says that they came from afar to worship him. They gave of their time and their dedication to seek after him and to worship him. They gave of their time as a gift to Jesus. They also gave of their talents to Jesus. There was at least one that was an astrologer and followed the stars, studied the stars. And that's how God communicated the location of Jesus, the one that they sought after. And so they used their talents to give back to God in their search for Jesus. And then they gave their treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, God gives each of us spiritual gifts. He gives us the gifts of compassion. He gives us the gifts of mercy, of service. There's many gifts that are listed in Romans 12 of spiritual gifts that He gives to each of us. You know, well, if we harbor those to ourselves, they don't do much good, do they? But if we use them to serve one another and to give to one another, we use those gifts to keep on giving. In turn, we use those gifts to give back to Jesus. And that's the gifts that God desires to see. Those are the gifts from the heart. You see, we can give. 1 Corinthians 13 goes on a long list of great deeds that we could do. I could prophesy. I could have faith so great that I could move mountains. I could feed the poor. I could give my body to be burned. But if I do it not with love, it amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing. It has no eternal value. And that's why Jesus wants our hearts. He wants not just our time, but He wants us to give cheerfully from our hearts. He wants us to give out of the love from our hearts and what we give to Him. So I want to challenge you tonight that the Christmas season, it demands a response from us. Why? Because it contains the gospel. And the gospel demands a response from us. It demanded a response from the wise men. And how did they answer? They sought after Jesus and they worshipped Him. It says that they fell down and worshipped Him. It demanded a response from the shepherds. And they left their flocks and came and worshipped Him. It demanded a response from the angels. What did they do? They proclaimed His glory. They proclaimed His birth. It also demanded a response from Herod. And what was his response? He wanted to kill Him. Because he wanted to extinguish anything that could possibly be greater than he was. Any competition. So tonight, the Christmas story demands a response from each of us. How will you use your time as a gift to the Lord? How will you use your spiritual gifts to the Lord? How will you use your sacrifices of thanksgiving and praise as gifts to Him from your heart? I hope that'll challenge each of you tonight to consider the significance that these wise men had in their gifts and the thought that they put behind their gifts, and that it will challenge you to give back to the Lord this Christmas.
Thank you very much, Samuel. All right, at this time we're going to do our candle lighting. And so I trust you got a candle when you came in. And there's no more, so sorry about that. Maybe you should have brought your own candle. So we just had barely enough. So what we'll do now is we'll go ahead and we're going to have everyone get up. And we're going to form a circle around the sanctuary. And then we'll turn the lights out. We'll be lighting the candles from person to person.
Came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth.
Silent night.
Thank you for the love that was shown on that night when Christ was born. We thank you for this service, this time we've had together to reflect on some of the things that happened. And we pray that we would respond in the right way. Even as the wise men came and gave their gifts, we pray that we might give ourselves, give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would work in us that attitude, that would desire to respond in that way. We thank you for each one that has come here tonight. We pray your blessings on them this Christmas season. And we thank you for this service we've had together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming. And you can blow out the candles and you're dismissed.